You know the just energy transition South African President Cyril Ramaphosa is always talking about? It's going to cost an estimated 1.5 trillion rand to get started. Of course, the bulk of that money will be spent on overhauling the electricity sector. But it is an energy transition after all, which means changing how we do all fuels that power our economy. One of those fuels is hydrogen. 1 out of every 5 rand spent on the just energy transition will be put towards kickstarting the hydrogen economy. What is green hydrogen? Well, it's hydrogen extracted using energy from the renewable sources. You know what has a lot of hydrogen in it? Water. Yes, we'll be zapping H2O with electricity from solar or wind to split it into hydrogen and oxygen.
So the process is you supply water to what we call an electrolyzer. So the electrolyzer, what it does, it splits the water in the presence of energy that you're getting from the sun into the original elements, that hydrogen and oxygen.
Do you know which part of South Africa has a lot of sun but is constantly plagued by water shortages? The Northern Cape. So of course that would be the logical place to establish a green hydrogen plant. Right? To be specific, the plant will be established just outside Van Reinstorp, a town you may have heard of in recent weeks because the residents were protesting after going 6 days without water. Poor maintenance and load shedding knocked out the main pump that sends water up from Vredendal. This green hydrogen commercial manufacturing plant will have electricity supplied by Keren Energy and use electrolysis tech developed at the South African Institute of Advanced Materials Chemistry, which is based at the University of the Western Cape. Dr. Stanford Shidziva is the acting director for Green Hydrogen Program at the Institute, and he is understandably excited.
Look, this is still technology that is not technology that is new, because this technology we've been doing from the University of Western Cape, we've been doing electrolysis for the past 20 years. So this is a very old technology. But however, when you talk of renewable energy as an alternative energy, if we refer to the COP27, there is a drive for climate change. And the drive for climate change, one of them is to reduce carbon emissions, and of which our fossil fuels, based fuels that we're using now, diesel, petrol, they are emitting a lot of carbon into the environment. So the drive now is to reduce that carbon footprint by using renewable energy. Because when you are using renewable energy, what your emissions, like for example, when I'm using hydrogen as a fuel in a truck, when I'm burning hydrogen, I'm throwing my byproduct that I'm emitting to the environment is water. But when I'm burning diesel, I'm producing CO2. So if you look also at Europe, now why they have an affinity for renewable energy, and they're looking at Africa as a source for renewable energy, hydrogen in particular, it is because they want to reduce their carbon footprint based on COP27. I think you can recall our president, Cyril Ramaphosa, he was calling these first world countries that they must contribute to these African nations because they are the ones that were at the forefront in causing a lot of carbon emissions into the environment, because they're industrialized nations.
As it stands, there are four methods to extract hydrogen, and electrolysis is by far the most environmentally friendly. But electrolysis only makes up for 4% of the world's hydrogen production. About half of the globe's current hydrogen supply is made through a process called steam methane reforming, which uses water, the steam part, to react with hydrocarbon fuel, in this case, methane gas.
Why it is called green hydrogen? It is because we are using renewable energy as the energy source to stimulate the reaction. So the renewable energy, we are getting it from the sun through this photovoltaic that will have put in place.
Both processes have a conversion loss, how much energy is wasted in the manufacturing, of around 20%. But both processes use much more water than the amount of hydrogen collected. Newer proton exchange membrane electrolysis tech is closing that conversion loss gap, but it's still an energy-intensive process. For steam methane reforming, it's about 5 liters of water for a kilogram of hydrogen. For electrolysis, it takes about 8 liters of demineralized water, which already went through a purifying process that lost some of the precious drinking source. We could use seawater, but that will require desalination, which is another energy-intensive process that creates its own set of challenges.
When we are looking at electrolysis water becomes a very critical source, when you talk of desalination as the source of the water desalination, it has its own disadvantage that desalination is an expensive process. So if you are going to do the water purification based on desalination, then you then bring in your capex for your photovoltaic, your electrolyzer and balance of plant. That hydrogen becomes very expensive. So desalination is not really a lucrative way to look at it as a water source for electrolysis. But when you look at the place like Northern Cape, where water is a jewel, where there are a number of ways that we can use to address that, is normally the wastewater treatment is one method that can be used to recycle that water, the wastewater. And in a normal setup, people they are told that we are pumping in recycled water back into the mainstream, you have a serious toy with those people because they think that you are drinking sewage. So that psychologically that creates a niche to say, in all these municipalities where we are going, we can use recycled water for electrolysis. That's number one. Number two, we can look into natural groundwater. Although that one, groundwater, is a bit tricky in the sense that the first, the other process is that where if you happen to hit an aquifer, the first priority is to use that water for drinking. Not for any industrial processes. So it comes, you can use it, but it comes with its own challenges, natural water. But water is if the area does not have a natural source, waste water treatment is the best way to go in order to supply enough water for electrolysis.
Do you know what else the electrolysis process uses to make green hydrogen? Platinum. The inert metal is ideal for anodes and cathodes, the negative and positive plates, used to split the water. Do you know which country produces 73% of the world's platinum? You've got it right, South Africa. Anglo-American Platinum CEO Natasha Viljoen just gave a 12-month notice to join the gold giant Newmont. This comes after the fanfare of Amplats led Green Hydrogen Valley that South African president also mentioned in his State of the Nation address. The same president who has a problematic link to the world's second biggest platinum mine, Lonmin, in Marikana. To be fair, South Africa has been in the hydrogen game for years, and the Department of Science and Innovation has actively supported the hydrogen economy for over 20 years at this point. That's why there's an Institute for Advanced Materials Chemistry in the first place. It's just that the specific hydrogen we've been making is grey and not green. Sasol makes it as part of its coal processing. The platinum group metals and other metallurgy industries make it as a byproduct of the smelting and refining process. The Hydrogen Valley is capitalizing on these grey hydrogen resources to kickstart the hydrogen fuel cell industry and get the mines and big industries to swap heavy dinosaur juice generators for fuel cells that use hydrogen they're already producing. That means, in theory, the green hydrogen can go to the export market and fetch the higher price.
So when you produce hydrogen, you can either store it in three forms, either in as a liquid, or as a solid, or as a gas, right? So the current form, when you store it as a liquid, the kind of applications that you are targeting, those guys that use liquid nitrogen are these guys that are in the space industry. Because they need liquefied hydrogen for when they're launching their spaceships. Then, when you look at storage as a solid, these are mainly the targeted applications. They are mainly here for refueling stations and for, basically for stationary applications that need solid storage. When we talk of fueling this power, these towers for telecoms, or we can look at utility vehicles like forklifts that need weight. So that's one application. Then the most common one is the gas. When we store hydrogen in gas, the applications, there are quite a number of them. Number one, you can make hydrogen derivatives out of the hydrogen that you have made. When we talk of hydrogen derivatives, that's where we are talking of green ammonia, where you take that hydrogen that you've produced, then you subject it to a process that is called Haber process. The Haber process now, that's the process where hydrogen reacts with nitrogen to make ammonia. So we therefore see that for overseas customers, they talk of Germany, we talk of Europe, who do require hydrogen, renewable hydrogen. They are looking at by taking hydrogen from Africa in the form of green ammonia, where they take that green ammonia, and when it arrives in Europe or in whatever destination where the customer is, they will do reverse Haber process where they get the hydrogen out of the ammonia. So that's one form. Hydrogen gas, we can use it as a gas for transportation application, where we now have we can use it as a fuel to fuel buses and trucks and cars. But currently, the landscape of South Africa, they are looking more of the affinity is drifting towards trucks and the buses, mainly the trucks that are moving commodities in and around the country. As you can maybe you have heard of the Hydrogen Valley that is coming stretching up from Limpopo all the way to Durban. Yes, so mainly that corridor is targeting utility vehicles that are moving commodities from mines up there going down to the port. So you therefore see that transportation is one of the one of the major uses that we are going to see hydrogen coming into play.
There is still the question of water, though. We're using it to generate electricity from fossil fuels and nuclear. All thermal electricity generation uses steam to drive a turbine and generate electricity. And now we're using it to make hydrogen. Yes, the promise of abundant electricity from renewable sources is a massive water saving. But that electricity could also be used directly to drive many processes.
When you generate power from the PV, you can either supply it straight to the grid, then you can use it, it can be used downstream for different applications, right? That's one way. But however, when we are looking at now, bringing in another step now, we say that power that we produced from, that we've harvested from the sun, We want to use it to produce hydrogen. We are addressing another niche, right? Because the niche that we are addressing here is when you form electricity from the PV. What you are addressing is the electrical part. Now, what we are now doing when we are producing hydrogen, we are addressing the other side where this particular element that you produce is used to address targeted challenges that are in the transport sector, that are in the chemical sector, that are in the for example, now when you talk of chemical sector, we need hydrogen for us to be able to make chemicals that are targeted for the food industry, for the agricultural industry. So we see hydrogen is a key element in those in those two industries. Then we see it now when we talk of mobility, what I was talking about, we say fuel cell vehicles, that's another niche. Hydrogen, it has three or four downstream applications that it can play a critical role. Now, when you just take the power that you produce from the PV, and you just use, you are only using the electricity, which does not have these other key processes that can be addressed by hydrogen.
There is a reason the world's first hydrogen car debuted in 1966, but the tech still hasn't caught on. Toyota's Mirai could get around 500 kilometers from its 5-kilogram hydrogen tank that actually weighs 80 kilograms. It's weird, whatever. But the costs involved to build hydrogen filling stations and to transport and store the odorless, colorless, highly explosive gas is, in a word, insane. You could instead plug an electric car into a wall socket and just wait the eternity it will take to charge. Time is money, but electricity is already distributed cheaply. Now add in the cost of the energy conversion loss I mentioned before, and you're also giving up a further 10% or so to make the hydrogen fit in a decent storage container. Hydrogen's biggest problem, pardon the pun, is that it isn't volumetrically dense, it's just energy dense. So that 5 kilograms of hydrogen could probably fill the room that you're sitting in right now. And the bottom line is, the real winners in the green hydrogen economy are the big industries that can use it to decarbonize operations, and not necessarily the residents of Van Reinstorp who now need to share water rations with a hydrogen plant. Oh, and there's another El Nino coming, which will drive droughts in the region too, similar to what we saw in 2016 to 2018. So there's that.
Oh, okay. This is a transition. Right, we're in the transition period, so I would say we give it between 3 to the next 5 years. We should be seeing a lot of plants coming up, going online. And what we have seen also, which is very interesting, is what we have seen the government doing in preparation to address the potential skills needs that are going to be required in that time. So we have seen them now. They are talking with these CETAs to see how they can upskill currently the TVET colleges, the universities, the technicons, in preparation to this surge, which is anticipated in the next, should we say, in the next 3 to 5 years, that this industry is going to be running fully fledged.
As always, Unencrypted is supported by Advert, Africa's only virtual sports advertising company that can get your brand on the stadium boards of the world's biggest sports. Visit addvirtt.com to make your brand stand out of the frame and get into the action.